And if we don't do it, if we're not showing them, like, who else is going to? This is never going to stop. It's never going to get changed. And this is like one of the biggest things that I talk about. And I'm constantly telling my clients this of like, you know, if you don't change with like your health and your fitness and your mindset around that and start improving your self-love and your self-confidence, how in the world do you think that you're going to show your kid to love themselves when you're struggling with that too? Have some growth to teach them how to have some growth. You know, if you want your kid to listen to you and respect you and look up to you, you need to be a person that you listen to, respect, and look up to as well. Welcome to the Bond Life Podcast, where fitness, mindset, and real talk collide. This isn't just about workouts. It's about transforming your body, mind, and life. Get ready for unfiltered conversations, expert advice, and the motivation you need to level up in every way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Bomb Life Podcast. I am Melissa Vogel, your host. Welcome to the show. If you are new to this podcast and this is the episode that you have fallen on or someone passed it on to you or you saw it on social media, welcome. This is a great episode to be on. I'm going to invite you to go back and listen to all of the episodes though. There's just so much in this podcast. It's not about, like I say in the intro, it's not just about like working out and nutrition and stuff. Every topic of life affects your fitness journey. And this is just another topic. And today's episode is another thing that impacts that. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back. I love hearing from you guys. I've been putting it out there more in each episode of like, right into the show. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you don't like. And we've been getting so much of that. A lot of you DM me, which I'm totally fine with because I'm on top of my DMs. Emails kind of get lost. But if you want to contribute right into the show, tell us topic, tell us what you're looking for, do it. Email me. It's Melissa Vogel, ITS, Melissa Vogel, V-O-G-E-L at gmail.com. Or you can DM me on Instagram. You can find me on TikTok. You can find me on Facebook. It's Melissa Vogel. And I love hearing from you guys. And I said in a couple episodes ago that I was going to have my dear friend Marcella Hill back on. And everyone was like, yes, please do. One of her episodes is going on right now. If you're listening to this in live in real time, that was a couple weeks ago, but the real and raw conversations that me and this woman have, I love it because I don't know how many people are having these conversations. I don't know how many people are having like just the real talk and being honest out there. And I love that this podcast is a platform for us to do that. I also love how many guys are tuning in. You guys know that several months ago, we changed over from the Bomb Mom podcast to the Bomb Life podcast because we found out our listeners, you guys are like everyone. You're male, you're female, you're younger, you're older, you're midlife, you're 30s, you're 60s, it's just crazy how much we have grown and how much our audience has grown. And we're like, okay, yeah, we've got to expand. And I know sometimes some of the topics are totally, I don't know, more geared towards women, right? And if you're a dude listening, like keep listening because the more, and we talk about this in the episode too, the more you educate yourself on the opposite sex. And I will have episodes coming up that are just for men too. And like about men's health and, you know, penises and sex and erection and all that. Because the more we know about the opposite sex, the healthier relationship is going to be with your significant other, with your daughter, with your parent, like whatever. You're going to have a better understanding. And that makes for better communication and love and understanding and empathy. So don't ever hesitate if you hear an episode that it's like, oh God, she said the word hormones, you know, or like, I don't know, something feminine or girly. I don't know. Keep listening. I would encourage you to keep listening because like, you know, that's hot. That's hot that a guy wants to learn more about women. And I don't know, when guys just educate themselves, it's just sexy. But we have Marcella Hill back on today and she is my dear friend. You guys know this. And we are having raw and real conversations about like how to talk to the younger people in your life, the teenagers, your children. And honestly, it doesn't matter if they're 5, 11, or 20, or 25. It doesn't matter. The focus is on improving you so you can improve your conversation and communication with them. And you know what? If you look like a badass in the eyes of your kids, dude, they will come to you and listen to you for everything. But if they look at you and they don't take you serious, that's a problem. And Marcella and I dive into this and how important it is to find your magic and become unstoppable yourself, because then all your parenting questions, they don't all get answered, but man, do a lot of them when you have an understanding. So this is just, it's such a good conversation. I'm going to encourage you to listen all the way to the end. Her and I get going and we talk and I'm like, oh my God, it's been over an hour, but we just flow. We just work. Now, this is going to lead me into something else, and I'm going to put the link to this in the show notes. Last February, I went on a retreat with Marcella, and she did the Wake Her Up retreat. Now this, sorry, but this is just for the ladies. And I went on this retreat, and her and I talked about this. We're like, have we ever done a podcast just on that retreat? And I don't think we have. I talked about it when I came back. So if you go to episodes around, you know, end of February, January, you'll hear me talk about this retreat. But it's the Wake Her Up retreat, and it fucking rocked my world. And she encouraged me and was like, she didn't let up on me. And I'm so glad she did. She's like, just get on the plane. I'm like, well, what am I coming to? What am I doing? What am I in charge of? Like, what's happening? Is there a gym? And she's like, no, you're going to come and rest for 4 days. I'm like, oh God, rest. Like, really? And she stayed on top of me. And she's like, hey, did you make a decision? Hey, what's going on? Hey, are you coming? And I'm like, oh my God, like the anxiety, because I hate planning ahead. Like, as much as I'm a planner, I hate booking plane tickets, because then it's like, oh fuck, here we go. I'm like doing this. I hate making like plans way in advance. I'm like a daily planner, a weekly planner. But man, you have me commit to something in like 6 months. I'm like, oh my God, I'm sweating. And that alone scared me. And I think she was messaging me in like January. And this retreat was in February. And I'm like, still, that's still, we're cutting it close. We were cutting it close. But she's like, just get on the plane. Just get on the plane and get here and trust me. And I'm like, fuck, this is a crazy trust fall, isn't it? You guys, it literally changed my life. And I can't believe how much I learned and discovered about myself, other women, like what I was exposed to. Marcella was right. She's like, just get on the damn plane and I'm going to change your life forever. And I was like, holy shit. And she did. You guys, it's coming back. And I'm going to be a part of it this time, more like a part of it. And we have some dates for you. February 19th through the 23rd, Mexico. Be there. Get booked. Now, if you need like a payment plan option, you're like, hey, I want to do this, but like, I need a payment plan option. Message us, like message me, let us know. We'll work with you. We only have room for 12 people. So you need to get your spot reserved now. And I'm going to tell you the same thing Marcella told me. Just get on the damn plane. Just get on the damn plane. When I booked, I found a ticket for like $297. It was like awesome. So your whole retreat, when you pay for it, it will cover like your entire transportation to and from. It will cover your room, your food, all the activities, everything. And holy shit, I talked with Marcella after the podcast a little bit. What we have in store, oh my God, get on the damn plane, you guys. Just get on the plane. Now, if you have questions about this or concerns or like anything, reach out either to me or to her. But we're doing this together, and it is going to be a retreat that will take your life and like doing good, and you're on one path, and we're going to flip it to a whole different direction in a beautiful way. And you will never regret it. You will never look back and be like, man, I shouldn't have done that. So go to the show notes. I'm going to put the link in there for you to, if you just want to like click and register and be like, yes, I'm going, I'm here, I want to reserve my spot. You can get like a cheaper rate if you room with someone, you can get your own room, like whatever, but just let us know. And we are definitely here to help you. But I had to do the crazy trust fall with her. And I did. And my life hasn't been the same. So check out the show notes. Do I need to do another like intro for Marcella? I don't know. She's like amazing. She's the founder and CEO of Wake Her Up. It's a whole global movement of transforming how women experience midlife, perimenopause. She's a podcaster and a mom, an entrepreneur, like divorcee. Like, she's just incredible. And once you hear her magical voice and everything we talk about, you're like, yeah, that's why they're friends. Okay, I'm going to stop talking, you guys. Go to the show notes, book a call with me, especially if you have questions about the retreat, book a call with me. Like, I'll put my discovery call link in there. And maybe you're like, I just want to talk about the retreat. Perfect. Boom. Let's do it. I'm here to help. You guys, as always, rate and review this podcast. Please, if you feel 5 stars is appropriate, put it down. But the rates and reviews do us so much. And ever since transferring platforms, we need as many as we can because you guys keep this show going. All right, everyone, enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the Bomb Life Podcast. I have my good friend Marcella Hill back on. Welcome, Marcella.
Thanks for having me back. It's always good to be here.
I feel like we should have hit record when we were chatting before, and like everything we were saying about our weekend and stuff, we should have been recording.
Well, maybe not all of it, but
maybe not all of it. There's a lot of conversations and texts that go back and forth that were like, this could never get out.
It never goes anywhere.
I'm excited for today because we kind of wrapped up. If you guys didn't catch our last episode, it wasn't last week's, it was the week before. And we were talking about like women's health and hormones. And it was like such a good conversation. We got such a good response with all that. We're still promoting it. It's still like going out and everything. And then we ended it because we didn't get to dive into like raising kids and teenagers and, you know, talking about hormones and all the stuff that, not even necessarily hormones with them, but like how they're feeling and dealing with all of that. And how do we parent through that stage while we're dealing with our own stage of adulthood and fitness journey and stuff? So I was like, we need to have you back on.
Seriously, I think it's so wild that, you know, here we are in perimenopause, menopause, we're dealing with like massive hormonal shifts while raising children.
I know.
Going through massive hormonal shifts. And if we could correlate the two a little more intensively or intentionally, I think we could make more sense of each other. Mm-hmm. And I think we probably would be better parents if we made those correlations.
Oh, for sure. And it still like boggles my mind at how many women don't understand their hormones or don't understand the shifts that happen in their 30s. People think like, oh, that's my 50s and 60s, but they don't even understand like ovulation and their power week and how that all happens and how, man, if you understand that and then you can teach your teens going through that, like there's so many times I look at my girls now and I would think that they're absolutely crazy or go, what's wrong with you? And then I'm like, I know where she's at in her cycle.
Yeah. I never learned cycle syncing until after I had a hysterectomy.
No.
And so I was like, damn it, I missed it. But I have an 11-year-old and I'm like so excited to see. I like keep telling my whole family, like, we're all going to sync. Like our entire family is about ready to like go on this total cycle lifestyle because I never got to do it. And you should have someone on about cycle syncing. I am know nothing. I am trying to figure that out myself.
Yeah, that's a great, that would be a great topic. But it's true. I was talking to a dad the other day about this, that this conversation about like really understanding his wife and hormones. And like, when you hear conversations like this, don't be like, oh, that's not a podcast episode for me. Cause I'm like, the more you understand this, the more you can relate to the females in your lives and like in your life and not judge her or think her she's crazy. Cause we're not crazy. And your teens aren't like these psychotic teens. They are male and female. Like, they're not just like losing their shit for no reason and they're unruly. Like, no, there's a real thing going around. And I think when we can have an understanding for it, it's going to take away that label of psycho. I'm like so sick of people saying, oh, she's psycho. You're just psycho. Like if I hear someone say that now, I almost lose my shit. It's like becoming a trigger word for me.
You know, it's so, this whole conversation is so awesome because, you know, when I remember my little boy, he's just my little man. He loves me so much. He's always been my person. And when he was hitting, 13, 14, you know, that first sign where they're like, oh no, he doesn't want me to hug him. Oh no, he's pulling away or he's rolling his eyes or, you know, he thinks I'm stupid or he doesn't want to hang out with me. I remember just starting to like get panicky, like, oh no, I'm losing him. I'm losing him. And I remember telling a friend, like, that I was so sad that you didn't want me to hug him anymore. And she said the exact right thing. She said, Marcella, he's doing it exactly right. And I said, wait, what? No, that can't possibly be. And she goes, no, this is age appropriate. And I will never forget that phrase. Mm. Age appropriate. He's supposed to not like you. This is how it goes. This is how people grow up to be independent of their parents. They have to start not liking you. There has to be like a break
in
this relationship where they find themselves. And I'll never forget, he was in the kitchen one day. I went to hug him and he did the like pushback, like, mom, right? And normally I would have kind of gotten my feelings hurt and, you know, just been kind of sad about it. And I took a breath, took a step back, and looked at him in kind of a different light, looked at him in that sense of, you're doing it. Look at you. This got to be scary for you too. You know, it's like putting your blankie down for the first time. Like that's got to suck too for you. And I just looked at him and I said, hey, I just want you to know this whole like not liking me thing, this pushing me away, you're doing a good job. You're doing it exactly right. This is what 14-year-olds do. And he just kind of looked at me like, whatever. And the next day, guess who hugged his mom? And I think it's just, you know, if you can take the shame out of this transition, yeah. Right? I didn't realize he had been feeling shame about it. He was feeling just as uncomfortable, just as confused, just as sad, probably without knowing what was going on. All he knew was, ew, my mom is stupid. And now he didn't have his comfort and his safety anymore, but he didn't understand how to navigate that. And as soon as I said, you're doing it exactly right, it was like the shame came down. Aww. And we could move through it.
Aww. How many moms, seriously, and dads need to hear this? And like, because they're probably
kids need to hear it. Kids, like, yeah. If you're looking at your teen who feels crazy and lonely and out of their mind and weird in their body, and you just look at them and say, you're doing it exactly right. Being crazy and not liking me is exactly how this goes. I'm so excited for you to go through this phase. Mm-hmm. I'm here.
Yeah. And no one talked about this before. No one talked about these stages and hormones and like feeling all these changes. It was just like, suck it up.
Well, also, you know? It's just physical, right? They're like, you're going to have your period. You're going to get body odor. You're going to grow breasts. Men are going to start having facial hair. You're going to grow. There's going to be growing pains. Here's some ibuprofen, some deodorant, and some tampons. Like, nobody talks about how to maneuver through like big feelings of like falling in love, wanting to have like sexual chemistry with someone, not liking your parents, being independent, but not yet. You know, I mean, nobody talks about the emotional transformation of it all.
No. And it needs to be talked about. So we don't, again, feel crazy and like we're losing it. You know, there's so many times where my daughter will come up to me and she's like, I just don't know why I'm crying. Like, you don't need to know, you know, but like, let's talk about it. And yeah. And I think there's a lot of kids that feel that way now. And, you know, let's face it, the pandemic didn't help. And they feel these things and then they just go to their room and shut the door. And like, we never hear from them again. And we're like, oh, they're just this moody teenager. And this is just what happens. But they could be in their suffering.
Well, they're being raised by parents that also don't know how to feel feelings. Right?
Exactly.
We were raised by parents that like, feelings don't exist. Mm-hmm. We just want you to be happy. And now we are just learning, oh, just being happy is actually not a thing. And we need to learn how to feel feelings. Yeah. So we're just learning. And I think there's an opportunity here for us to learn with our children. We don't need to figure it out first and then go teach them. One of the things that I've done with my 11-year-old, which I love so much because again, I'm learning this. I don't know how to feel like, let's just say sadness, for instance. And I've recognized that. And so on a regular day when there's not big feelings, I will just pick a feeling and we'll just have a conversation over breakfast. And I'll just say, let's talk about sadness. What does sadness feel like? You know, and we'll talk about what it feels like and what causes sadness. What types of events are sad? Because I think that can get confusing, right? Maybe this is fear, but it's sadness. Maybe this is sadness, but it's showing up as anxiety, right? So we talk about what is sadness. And then we talk about what is a beautiful, sad day. Like if you had your perfect sad day, what would that look like? Aww. And she described watching movies and having blankies and listening to sad music and eating cookies and just sitting on the couch and snuggling. And then she said something very profound. And she goes, and then when I'm done being sad, I'll go outside and be with my friends. And I was like, yeah.
Aw, and what a great way for you to hear too of like taking note. What does
like,
she
I'm
mean?
Taking notes right now for my 11-year-old. This is how we do sadness. We take bubble baths and we like lean all the way into it. Just like really indulge. I mean, have you ever heard that? Indulge in your sadness, indulge in your big feelings. I mean, what if sadness is just as lovely as laughter, right? We just want to be all in. It really could be that. But for a lot of us, we're crying in the corner, trying to quiet it up, closing the bathroom door, trying to hurry up the tears.
As I was going to say, as fast as we can.
Yeah, this is get it all. Don't let anybody see. I mean, I remember my friend, she passed away a little over a year ago. And I just had this deep sadness that I had never experienced before. And this was in the midst of us talking about how to feel feelings. And I remember crying in my bedroom with the door shut and intention. This is so hard for me to talk about. I remember thinking, no, sadness gets to exist in our home. Like, we have to create space for feelings. And I had never just sat and watched my mom like just cry in the kitchen. Right. You know, that would have been very scary. And I thought, we're going to figure this out. And I took myself downstairs and I sat in my, one of those big rocking chairs. You've been in my house.
Yeah.
Big rocking chairs. And I got my blankie and my little girl was sitting on the couch. And I said, I might cry. I'm just really sad about my friend. And I just sat there and cried. And she goes, of course you would be sad. And she came and just sat with me. And I just let myself cry in front of her. And it was really hard.
You're like, make me cry right now.
But it felt very scary.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want your kids to feel big feelings, but the problem is they are going to, whether we want them to or not, they are going to feel feelings. So which one is scarier? Them feeling big feelings and not knowing how and doing it silently in their room or, you know, driving or somewhere far away, or making space for it in your house where feelings are allowed.
Mm-hmm.
Big feelings.
Big feelings.
Big feelings. Like, how many times life. When there's anger, we're like, you just take that upstairs and we don't want to see it, right? Yeah. I mean, we've got to figure out how to allow for more than just happiness, because there's a million more feelings to be felt. And they're just feelings.
They're just feelings. Yeah.
Turn them into a whole thing that, like,
you like. Yeah. And that's life. This is going to happen. I mean,
feelings is kind of the point of living, right?
Exactly.
Like, I think sometimes when I'm like feeling, I don't know, like doubt or frustration, I have this very specific image of my friend who has passed away. She's laying on her couch. She is on her deathbed. She cannot even communicate with people. She couldn't even feel feelings. Like, she could just not even participate in the world. And no matter what feelings I have now, I think I am alive. Like, this ability to feel fear and doubt and all the feelings, anything, right? Like, not wanting to get up in the morning. That is a feeling that says you're alive.
Yeah.
Right? Because you have the ability to feel that. Mm-hmm. Being mad at your husband tells you, hey, I am alive enough to be mad about this thing. And I can find this really deep gratitude for it, because not everybody has the ability to feel those feelings. Some of them just locked up in a bed somewhere in a hospital, unable to even have those types of feelings.
Oh, you are so right. And they'd give anything, you know,
anything
to express that again.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you brought that up about, like, sharing that and having that with your daughter, because it makes me feel like not so horrible, but like, my kids have seen me go through a lot, and I had to just give up and surrender and not hide that from them. And I can remember there were like several times that we sat at dinner and I sat down and I was done making it and it was just me and my girls, and it just hit me. I think it was just something about sitting and being with them, and I would just start sobbing. And I'm like, I'm not going to go in my room. I'm not going to excuse myself. Like, look, I'm really sad. This is what's happening, you know, kid level appropriate. And you guys know this. And we would just cry together and they would just listen. You know, each of my girls is so different too. So they each respond and react in a different way. I could see anger stirring in one of them and just pure sadness and emotion in the other. And then the other's like plotting and figuring out, like, and it was interesting, but like, I couldn't hide that from them. And I think more lessons and growth came from that than anything else. So just shout out to anyone listening, going through hard things, and you think you can protect your kids from it, you're doing, you know, better by not sharing emotions with them and like hiding your tears. Man, I don't know. I question that.
Yeah. Well, and it is scary. It is. I am not
scary.
Right at it. I still find myself like locked in my room, like sad. Right. But
for sure.
We're not going to do it exactly right, but we got to start somewhere. Yeah. Right. Like, my oldest is 20. She never had a conversation about feelings ever with me in her life. Like, we do not know how to share feelings between the two of us, you know. And then I have a 17-year-old. We're better at it. We're getting there. We are better at it. And then my 11-year-old, you know, she's the one that's getting my full-fledged, like, we are going to learn how to feel.
Yeah.
And I'm probably not doing it exactly right, but I am doing it more than I was. And I want to believe that that's something, that that trying counts.
It does count. Absolutely. This kind of leads me into another topic I wanted to cover with you of like having those conversations around things before like the crisis hits, you know, like you're doing before the sadness hits. Let's talk about how we're going to deal with this. You know, how do you handle that with your kids of like talking about, I mean, even with probably your 11-year-old of like maybe bullying, inappropriate touch. I don't know if that drug and alcohol conversation is coming up with her, but you know, each kid of your kids are at different stages and they're like almost at the same stages as mine. And it's like, we have to have these conversations going on before they happen.
Oh yeah.
How do you approach that?
Oh gosh. And this is so new for me because, okay. I mean, context, right? If you haven't heard me before, I grew up Mormon. So drugs and alcohol yes. were just yes. not a thing, or sex. Like you just don't, like there's the no. And so there isn't really like any conversation around it. It's just a hard no.
No.
That's it. That's as much a conversation as there is. Don't do it. And now that's not the conversation because, I mean, my kids know that, you know, I will smoke some pot sometimes. My kids know we have alcohol in the house. I even talk about mushrooms. I mean, I run a freaking psychedelic retreat in Mexico. Come on. Right.
Right. Like,
it's not a secret.
Oh, I told my kids totally what I did.
I also, you know, brand rep for like sex toys. So, I mean,
right.
We're living in a totally different environment than what I grew up in. And so, you know, there are these conversations that I find myself still very uncomfortable, but amazed that they're even happening. So let's talk about the drugs thing, right? So for instance, if my older kids came to me and they're like, well, we kind of want to try that, or what, you know, are you okay if we do? We have a very blatantly open conversation about, well, this is what it feels like. This is what it's going to feel like. This is what it's going to do. This is the things to be aware of. Who are you with? What's your environment?
Yeah.
Be aware of the energy you're in. I need to know where you're getting it from, right? I mean, I would rather have the conversation around how to do it safely than just say, don't do it.
Right.
Because the reality is kids are going to do it. That's the reality. Now, I'm not providing it. There's that, right?
Right.
But there is this like beautiful conversation around respecting them as full humans, where you're talking to them like a friend with a responsibility and awareness. And I think that actually takes like the curiosity out of it.
Yeah.
Right?
I totally agree.
Totally. I mean, it's so much better to be able to have a conversation where we're like, okay, if you're going to get high, fine. You could have lots of fun, but some things to be aware of. One, you're too creative to get high every night because it's going to steal your creativity. Mm. Two, if you find yourself wanting to get high every night, then you have other issues that we need to deal with because there's a reason why you're doing that. Before you get high, you need to check in with yourself about your emotions. Are you sad? Are you doing this just for the hell of it? Are you doing it just for fun? Or are you doing it because you have feelings that you don't want to feel? That's not good. We don't want to do it under those circumstances. Are you with people that are safe? Are you with people that are also feeling feelings and don't want to feel feelings, right? I mean, check in around you. We have a funny agreement where my son's like, well, if I'm going to do it, do you want me to text you and like ask? And I was like, absolutely, yes. And he's like, but I'm probably yeah. still going to do it. And I was like, no, I'm not asking you to text me for permission. I'm asking you to take a pause so that when you text me, this is what's going down. I know that you kind of checked in with yourself enough to be aware of who you're with. Where, like, can you stay there for a while? Do you need to, you know, will you need to get in a car? What's right. the environment like? You checked in with yourself enough to be able to make a conscious, intentional decision.
Yeah.
And that's all. That's all I need you to tell me where you're at and who you're with and whether you do it or not. I mean, I'll still text you, please don't.
Right, right.
But,
yeah.
But not in the context that you're going to be in trouble if you do. In the context of, like, be aware.
Right. And so, I'm sure what you're saying right now is just scaring the shit out of people because they have such a mentality of like, no, don't, you're not 21 or you're not an adult or you're not this or whatever. And you're like opening up doors and like saying things that they've never like thought of before. But you're right. They're going to freaking do it anyways. Like, let's be real. And if I think the more that we guide them around this and be honest with them with our own experiences and like, you know, like you said, all the checking in, oh my God, you're going to do so much more preventing than anything else. And I'm always asking my kids the question of like, why? I ask the same thing to my clients too, of like, why? Why would you want to drink right now? It's a Wednesday. You know, why would you want to have shots on Thursday or like more wine? Like, I'm not judging you. I'm just asking why. And with kids and teens, I mean, I keep saying kids, but like, if we're talking about this, they're almost adults or they are adults. Yeah. It's like, you have to ask the same thing. And if you're doing it just to fit in, man, we need to have a conversation about like self-confidence and self-love then, because why is it so important to please them? Then why is that more important than you being safe or, you know, not doing something stupid or opening Pandora's box to something really bad happening? Like, that should be your priority versus just trying to please other people.
Yeah. And I think it depends on, you know, this is such a hard conversation because I don't want to pretend like I know that this is the right thing to do. This is the right.
Yeah. We don't know shit.
Thing to say to one of my particular kids. Right.
Right.
Like, so I can't say that this would even been the right thing to say to myself. Right. I mean, right. I grew up never touching alcohol, never touching drugs. And I'm grateful that I never did. I was just one of those kids. I was never around it. I never wanted to be around it. And I was just taught that I would go to hell if I did. So I just didn't, right? And that was right for me. But I think you have to parent your child individually to that child.
So individual.
So worried about being a good mom that being a good mom gets in the way of us being a good parent to that child. We get in our own way because we're worried about what it will look like if they mess up, what people will think of us as a parent if they mess up. We get literally the whole entire title of being a good mom in the way of actually being a good parent. And the reason why I feel like I've been able to be a better parent to my kids individually is because when my oldest was 15, she moved out. We never had a good relationship. She moved out, lived with her dad, and it was devastating to me. I really had to check myself because everything that I understood of being a good mom was now not available. I couldn't track when she was on her phone. I couldn't tell her to turn the lights off. I couldn't tell her to clean her room. I couldn't, you know, I wasn't providing good food for her. I wasn't making sure she had clean clothes. Like, none of the good mom things were even in my realm anymore. I had no idea how to show up as a parent when she wasn't in my house.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a problem. Like, I still exist as a whole human, as a good friend and a good support and a good cheerleader. And I love people deeply. And I mean, you're my friend from California. And we have had intense conversations getting through very dramatic experiences. And I really had to check myself and realize, wait, why can't I be a good person for her in her life, even though I'm not giving her breakfast and telling her when to turn her phone off? Like, it's
such a good point.
Different.
Yeah.
And I had to completely, it's like my good mom box just blew up. Mm-hmm. And I would say the way that I showed up for her, honestly, there were a lot of times where I thought if I was an outsider looking in, I'd be like, that's kind of a shit mom. But I had to constantly stand on my own two feet and think, no, this is exactly right for her and me. This is what I have to offer her. This is the best that I can do for her. And a lot of times it went completely against what I would have thought being a good mom was.
Yeah. I think this is so relatable too for a lot of women. You know, even if their kid didn't move out or like whatever, like, divorced parents go through this because everything you're saying, I feel you. Like, when we separated and had two homes, I wasn't a mom in my world full time anymore.
Right.
And I was like, I remember saying to people or my therapist, I was like, I don't know how to be a part time mom. And that verbiage was so disgusting. Like, ew, like, Melissa, why would you're not a part time mom, but that's what will come out of my mouth.
Felt like that. Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know how to give up time with them. I don't know how to be a parent when they're over there. And I had to learn so much about like letting go. And I can't control what's going on over there anymore. I can only control my own home, my own environment when they're with me. And like, that's okay. it's okay for him to be a parent now because you know what? I shouldn't have been 100% full-time parent anyways with two parents in the home. Let's be real, right? Like now he has to take some of the you know, brunt of parenting as it should be. It shouldn't have all fallen on me, which probably led us to our divorce anyways. I know it did, you know, and me getting burnt out and just so many different things. But yeah, we can relate to you, Marcella, even in just different ways. And it's like, man, there are so many other ways of being a good parent.
So many. I mean, I remember when we first got divorced, you know, my little guy was, I don't know, 6 or 7, I don't know. And his dad showed him some scary movies, some stupid PG-13, scary as hell movie, some superhero something. And it scared the shit out of him. And I remember having like, one, trying to have a conversation with my ex about like, we cannot show him this shit, like have some discernment.
Right.
But then at the same time, realizing like, I can't control what he does over there. And then having to have a conversation, choosing to have a conversation with my little guy, where I was like, hey, you are going to be put in situations with friends, with family, with even me, with me, with your dad, with uncle, anybody on this earth. You're going to be put in situations where they're going to show you things or talk about things or listen to things or have experiences where it's not going to feel good for you. And your soul is going to be like, ah, we don't like this. Let's talk about what to do when that happens. And we would talk about how to use our words, how to close our eyes, how to move out of the room, how to change the subject, how to like all these different like coping mechanisms when you are somewhere you don't want to be. And that it didn't matter if even if your mom or dad says that's okay, doesn't mean that it's actually okay for you.
Right.
And we actually had just had this conversation with my daughter and some of her friends were talking about like some show and who's allowed to watch it and who's not. And I stood back and I was like, just so you all know, just because your mom, even if your mom, your own mom says you're allowed to watch this, doesn't actually mean that it's good for you. Like you might watch whatever it is, like Wednesday or something, right? Your soul would be like, this is terrifying to me. Yeah. Even though my mom said I could, you got to check in with yourself. And for me, I think that came so early on with my kids. I had to because I didn't have the control. But what resulted is me being able to raise children that had could self-regulate. They were checked in with themselves enough to be able to use their voice and speak up so that when I'm not there.
Right.
Just so much better. That's so much more peace of mind.
Right. Well, and that
the decisions when you're not there.
Absolutely. And that goes into like the whole original question of like, how do we have these like preventative type conversations with our children, you know? And that right there is it of like talking about these things and knowing and trusting your own gut and your own instinct, because life is going to throw so many different things at them. And especially at this stage and getting approached, you know, by other people and what to do in situations. I mean, like, My oldest is 20 now too, which is so insane to say. I know. I'm like, oh my God.
How do you all have 20-year-olds?
Like, what the hell? And she's even put in situations right now of just like, because she plays college ball and you can be 22, 23 on that team. You know what I mean? Like, and what they're doing, and she could do if she wanted to, it just doesn't feel right with her. Mm. And I'm like, what did I always tell you? You know, when you choose to be like a better or bigger person in your mind.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the winter's bestseller pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breasts, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
And you make different decisions than other people, you need to own them. And know that when you do great things or make different choices that aren't with the flow, it's lonely at the top. You are probably going to be the only person making those choices, even though everyone else is doing that. And I think the more we teach our kids and push that of like, it's okay to be the only one that's not doing this in certain situations. It's okay to go against the flow sometimes. And that's probably hard for you because you're like, man, I went against the flow with so many things growing up Mormon. Like that probably was like a constant thing, you know, like the whole world.
Always on the outside, you know, that's the whole thing of Mormonism.
Exactly.
Like you're not part of the world. You're different.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you by Simply Greens. I am so excited to share this new favorite daily hack with you guys because it has changed how I feel from the inside out. It is Simply Greens, S-I-M-P-L-I, Greens gummies. I've been taking them for a few weeks now and even my kids are on board and I'm loving how simple they are to get my greens in. No giant smoothies, no mess, no powder, no guesswork, just chew and go. Here's what's inside. Each gummy is loaded with real nutrients from 14 green veggies like spinach, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, plus superfoods like spirulina and chlorella. They're 100% plant derivative, gluten-free, organic, with no cheap fillers or synthetic junk that your body struggles to use. Simply Greens also includes vitamin B12 for energy and metabolism. Yeah, we all need that. Vitamin D3 for bone health, zinc and echinacea for immune support, and so much more. Why gummies? Because consistency is greater than perfection. A gummy is easier to take, it's more enjoyable, and it helps me stick with it. When I feel good, I show up for my workouts, my family, and my life. I've totally noticed better energy, less brain fog, and I feel more grounded. And my kids, yeah, they're getting those same daily nutrients without me nagging them. They go out the door, I hand them their gummies, they take them, they go. And because you're a listener of the Bomb Life podcast, guess what? You get a deal. Use the code BOMBLIFE at checkout and save 25% off your order. You are welcome. Plus, if you spend $35, you get free shipping. If you've ever struggled to eat enough greens or felt overwhelmed by the powders and the shakes, just didn't like the taste, this is the solution. Real greens in a real simple format. Back to the show.
These conversations just like keep coming up. I mean, we just had homecoming and I like made a joke when I was like, don't go under the bleachers. Don't, you know, don't do bad things under there. Like yeah. I was joking about it, but at the same time, I was like, hey, you know, I'm trusting you. If anything comes up, you call me, you text me, like no questions asked. I want you to be safe and make good choices. And she's like, you don't have to worry about that, Mom. I'm like, I know, but I'm just like still having the conversation before anything happens.
Well, and isn't it so, and again, this is just for me and my children, and you have to know your child. But for me to be able to have a conversation with my older children about like sex, let's say, you know, where you're, I express them, look, when you choose to involve yourself in this way, mm-hmm. I hope you take the opportunity to do it intentionally. I hope that it's a special moment. I hope you have thought it through. I hope you have talked about it. I hope this is somebody you care about. I hope that it's planned and beautiful, and it is a big part. It will be a big part of your adult life. I hope that it is, because it is wonderful. And here are some things you need to know about bodies, you know, and this is how it works. And mm-hmm. here is a condom, and here, you know, this is birth control, and be able to have those conversations, because my experience was always like, oops,
yeah,
that happened. We went too far, and now I'm full of shame, and now I'm going to hell, and I've ruined my mm-hmm. life. And for me, I have recognized that shame is the most destructive thing that any human can hold. It is more destructive than alcohol, drugs, sex, stealing. It is the shame. And when you can take shame out of it, then all of a sudden you can actually deal with the problems. Like your kids can call you and say, okay, well, we did this thing and we didn't do it with protection. So now what the hell are we going to do, right? Instead of them sitting in a room, going into a dark, dark hole of having nowhere to go, no one to talk to, and believing that they are shit. That is what is destroying people in general.
Yes.
And so I, for me, my number one overall thing is to raise children with zero shame and being able to talk about mistakes and move through them and how to resolve problems. I want to create problem solvers that are shameless, you know, and they know they're a good human, even if they make a mistake. They know that they can create a solution even to some of the biggest problems. Because the truth is, you and I both know people that got pregnant accidentally. We all know someone that, oops, they got pregnant.
Yep.
And life has a way of working out.
Yep.
It just does. But when kids don't know how to make it work out, that is when we are dealing with suicidal children.
Yes.
I remember having a conversation with the principal. And this is back many years ago. My son and his friends got kicked out of a dance because the girls were wearing tank tops. And that is against the school code, right? And the principal called me and we were talking about this like type of experience altercation thing that happened. And I laid in and I was like, my goal is for my children to go to school and come home and have a complete sense of self-worth. And if you are telling my child that they are less valuable or they are offending someone because of their shoulders, that is completely inappropriate to me. So much more than their shoulders.
Right.
And I dug in. I was like, absolutely not. Like, what is the freaking point of their shoulder showing? And blah, blah, blah. I mean, I could go on and on.
Right.
They changed the dress code because of that conversation. So I was like, hell no, we are so beyond that. Kids right now need to feel good about who they are.
Yeah.
And how they express themselves so much more than worrying about their shoulders showing too much. And I think that's just where I've landed in all of this parenting stuff, doing it without shame.
Yeah. And just the conversation and the education around it, that's where it's got to start. I'm so glad you brought up like sex and everything too, because that's such a hot topic with parents and kids, and they don't know how to do it and they don't know how to bring it up. And I think that's one of the conversations you need to have before it's even a topic. And I've said the same thing to my kids too, of like, you know, at some point this is going to happen, but make sure, you know, when you can, that it's because of this reason and that reason. And it's not always going to be perfect, but like we can have a conversation around that. And, you know, so many girls lose their virginity because they just did it for the guy.
Yep.
They just,
you know, a conversation they really need to be having. If you have boys, you need to tell your boys there is a statistic that less than 7% of women in college have an orgasm. And that's complete bullshit. So if your boys are going to go be sexually active, you best be telling them they need to worship this woman's body from head to freaking toe, know every bell and whistle in her body, and make sure she is damn well taken care of. That's the conversation that I wish people would be having instead of like, just don't do it. Here's a damn condom. No, tell them about how to pleasure somebody's body and take care of them and keep them safe and listen to them and pay attention and go off cues and connection. I mean, oh, it's just, there's such a bigger conversation to be had here.
And just learn like, how to have pleasure from doing that. Like,
everyone's just talking about consent and protection. Mm-hmm. What about like connection and orgasm and pleasure and like, what about all of that? Like, this is something that keeps coming up. When I started drinking and getting into some substances, I was really worried. And I told my friend, I was like, is this going to make it so my kids are just like running rampant and now, you know, create these alcoholics? And she goes, no, the fact that their mom is doing it makes it way less cool for them.
That's
to do
so
it.
True.
And I want to think the same thing about sex. If you're like openly talking about sex, and I mean, obviously we're not sharing like your personal sexual relations, you know, with kids, but at the same time, like, you're having open, healthy conversations. Yes. It makes it way less sexy.
And my mom's doing it too. Yeah. Right. No, oh my God. It's so true. I've been having conversations more with my kids about this, and like, you know, they're just like, ew, stop, you know, like sometimes. And it all depends on the kid. And I'm like, really think about it. Like, if you don't understand what an orgasm is, if you don't understand like pleasure. And I brought this up with one of my daughter's friends because she's like, oh my God, mom, so-and-so lost her virginity. And I'm like, oh shit. And I'm like, did she tell her mom? She's like, hell no. And she's like, I'm just telling you. And I'm like, okay, do you really think she even understands what an orgasm is or pleasure, or like what she gets from that? And she's like, and then so that opened the door to a conversation. I'm like, because really think about it. What was the only reason for doing it then? It was for him. It was all for him. And like, that really made my older girl stop and just think. And I'm like, if you start opening that can of worms now when you're young of like, I only do this because it made them happy, you are in for a long life, kid. You are in a world of hurt if you're just trying to please others. You're doing something just to please others. And man, sex.
Well, okay, this is the crate, and we can have there's like whole podcasts that are devoted to this. But the fact that we still use the phrase lost her virginity, like we gave something up, that alone is bullshit.
I know, and just I said it too.
Penis goes into your vagina, does not take anything away from you. And we still use that phrase.
We do. It just flew out of my mouth.
I know. It still happens. And yeah, we don't even recognize it. And women don't even recognize how much value we are placing on like something being inserted into our body. And then it all of a sudden we're like a less valuable human.
Now we're dirty.
Crazy. I think that needs to be the can you imagine if all boys everywhere had the conversation of making sure that like sex included like worshiping the woman's body.
Oh my God.
That she was taken care of. And also another conversation of like majority of women don't orgasm with just penetration. They need like clitoral stimulation, toys. And that doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. Think of how many men take offense when women want to introduce toys into the bedroom. If we could start with literally talking to our 18, 19-year-olds about how a woman's body actually works, we would end up with men that are less offended. They understand women's bodies. More women would be satisfied. Sex wouldn't be a burden or a chore because men would know what the hell they were doing.
Right. Think of all the chemicals being produced in the world then in our brain, like the serotonin, the endorphins, and like we would have better humans.
Yes. Like, gosh. But yeah, we're like, we just want to be like, just don't do it.
Right.
What do we expect is coming out of that?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a sex conversation, but it comes with everything. It comes with feelings, right? We want to be like, just don't feel sad. Just don't feel it. You know, just don't do drugs. Just don't do any of those things.
Yeah.
Right. And I think
that's not working.
It'd be a bigger comp. There's just so much more to be had.
I know. I know.
And it results in, I mean, now I can say it results in my children calling me like in really intense situations.
Yes.
Really, where they don't know where else to go. Their friends, they have called me on behalf of their friends because their friends can't call their parents.
Same girl.
Right. And I would 1,000% rather be the parent that is getting these calls that I can help these kids.
Yeah.
Rather than them going somewhere where they're not going to get the help. They're just going to get yelled at.
Right.
So we need to get the being a good parent out of the way. I feel like that's the stickiest thing. And I'm going, you're going to think I'm a bad parent. But I'm going to go do the ultimate bad parent thing. My oldest lives in Sweden and she's like, hey, I want to go travel around and go to nightclubs. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. My daughter and I have never really had a deep relationship. And now that she's on the other side of the world.
Right.
You know, it's great.
Right. Thanks.
And I'm going to be with her for 14 days traveling around with my 20-year-old. And we're going to feel feelings and we are going to laugh and we're going to drink and we are going to play and travel and lay on the beach in, I don't know, Croatia or wherever we get off the train, and we're just gonna go be magic.
I think that's absolutely incredible. And I'm sure there are people judging, like, and being like, what?
Judge away. You know, I never did anything like this with my mom, and I would have loved to.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I'm doing it.
Well, and I just think the more that we show our kids how important it is for us to live life, grow, do amazing things while we are your parent, especially when they're younger and they don't even have their own kids yet, you know, like, we're teaching them to live life. Like, you don't have to wait for anything to go live your life. You don't have to wait for your kids to be a certain age. You know, you don't have to wait for a certain event to happen or whatever, or a divorce or a move, or like, you don't have to wait. And you're doing it now with her while you're young, while she's young. Like, fuck yeah.
And I mean, my grandma just passed away. And at the funeral, everyone just talked about how she gave her whole life just to serve her kids. In literally in their speaking, they mentioned laundry, how much laundry she did, how much dishes, how many meals she made. I was like, oh, if anyone mentions fucking laundry in my funeral, I will have failed miserably. Absolutely no.
Oh, God.
No. And somebody had asked her, like, if there was anything that she regretted or she wished she would have done differently. It was the week before she passed. She said, I would have had more fun.
Oh.
And the joke is that nobody in that room felt like they knew her. Why? Because she buried herself in chores. And I think that we live in a world where women have become invisible. We have built ourselves into this good mom, good wife box. And we, as individuals of who we are, we don't exist. And then what we're doing is we're turning around and we're teaching our children that when you're a mom and a wife, this is how it goes.
Yeah.
You just do the thing. And then we wonder why we live in a world with women non-existent. Somebody has to break this cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be us. It's going to be these 4-year-olds that, like, we desperately miss the relationship we never even got with our mom, because our moms were playing the role. And we recognize that we have this whole thing missing. And so instead of going and chasing the relationship with our mom, what we're going to do is we're going to turn around and have these relationships with our children. And we are going to amplify who we are.
Yeah.
I remember, I think, did I tell you the story of, like, going to dance class on a Wednesday?
I don't think so.
I have to tell the story because I was really testing this of, like, it matters that who you are matters more than the chores.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I got to put my money where my mouth is, right? And my friend invited me to an adult hip hop class. And it was on a Wednesday night. And Wednesday nights are like crazy town over here. I mean, we've got all the activities, sports and everything. And I thought this is going to be really inconvenient. Plus, it's money we don't have. I'm not really going to do anything with it. I'm not going to go be a professional dancer. This is just kind of extra. And it's stupid. It's really inconvenient. But I was like, I got to test my theory here. So I go to this hip hop class. And for the first couple of weeks, it actually was incredibly inconvenient, and everyone was really not very happy or supportive about it. And I just stood my ground. I was like, I'm going to keep going, because it just lit my soul on fire. Eventually, what happened is Wednesday nights, mom would come home, and what used to be a really boring, stressful Wednesday night of, like, throwing cereal at everyone and getting everyone to bed and just frustrating regular Wednesday night turned into the kids in my house being like, Mom, you got to show us your dance. And I would move the furniture in the living room. And at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night, mom would show everybody her hip hop dance. And the whole house would be filled with joy and laughter and just brightness and aliveness. And, you know, that I would take that over a regular, good, perfectly, you know, laid out bedtime any day.
I love that.
It mattered.
Oh my God.
It mattered that I did the thing that lit me up. It mattered more than what being there for dinner time.
Right. God, we need this message out so much. Like, I'm so glad that we are talking about this. And I hope you guys that are listening, just this fuels and, like, lights, like, this fire under your ass somehow, because this whole, like, day-to-day bullshit and, like, not living, not exploring. And I know people are listening going, well, I don't have money to do that. I know, fine. Like, we know that life too, you know? And there has just got to be a way to, I don't know, tap into something, somehow manifest it, credit card. I don't know. Like, I'm not telling people to get into debt, but like, there's got to be a way at some point where you're like, no, fuck this. I am going to move forward with this. I'm going to do this for me because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. You know, like,
I mean, just the difference between like listening to like what your kids want to listen to. Call me Alexa, tell Alexa to listen to Paula Abdul, like introduce them to music that you like. You dance around the kitchen to your music. Like, take up space.
Yes.
Infuse yourself into your home. You know, redecorate with the colors that are, you might not even know what your favorite color is anymore. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Right? Like, start putting things on the wall that are you. Start infusing yourself into your life because it matters. These kids are growing up with just a maid and someone
their
that
can phone
literally be replaced. And they need you.
Yes.
I mean, the whole like tagline of my book is, if you think something's missing, it's probably you. Women are missing from themselves, from their lives, because we are buried under the good mom type.
Yeah. And if we don't do it, if we're not showing them, like, who else is going to? This is never going to stop. It's never going to get changed. And this is like one of the biggest things that I talk about. And I'm constantly telling my clients this of like, you know, if you don't change with like your health and your fitness and your mindset around that and start improving your self-love and your self-confidence, how in the world do you think that you're going to show your kid to love themselves when you're struggling with that too? Have some growth to teach them how to have some growth. You know, if you want your kid to listen to you and respect you and look up to you, you need to be a person that you listen to, respect, and look up to as well.
Yeah. And it's so much easier to teach your kids while you're learning, right? I remember through food addiction recovery, right? Like, I recognized that I was a food addict. Like, I was just, my life was destroyed by just the addiction of food. And I was really worried that that was going to turn into like a complex, you know, like a unhealthy situation. But being able to talk to my kids about what does that look like when anything takes over your brain and your life, and this is what it feels like, and this is how mom is working through it. And, you know, if I choose to, I don't know, when I go to the gym, I'm like, you have verbiage around it, right? You're able to say like, I feel good when I go to the gym. I like how my muscles feel. I like feeling strong.
I said, or today like really sucked and I was just checking a box. Like, today was a really hard workout and I didn't want to do it. And I went anyway.
Or all of the things, right? Like, you can express all the things. Or I didn't feel like going today and I didn't. And that doesn't say anything about me.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can, all of the things, like, you're just teaching them how to be a human, feeling things, learning how to problem solve, learning how to love yourself no matter what, learning how to feel feelings and learning how to be disappointed in yourself, learning how to overcome all of life. And I feel like that's the problem, is a lot of women aren't living life, right? Like, we're just kind of going through the motions and checking boxes.
Yes.
And you've got to get back into living.
Yeah.
That is why it's hard to parent, because you're not actually in it.
Yes.
Right?
Thank you.
You're not having your own challenges. You're not having your own feelings. We're just,
yep.
And then we forgot how to feel feelings. And then we're wondering, how do we teach our children to have these feelings?
Dude, you just like nailed it right there. Like, if there's anything you guys take away from this episode, it was that. That is why you are struggling with things right there. It starts with us.
I think maybe that's why. Maybe that's why this parenting thing has become so alive for me, because I have become so alive.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm going to Europe for 2 weeks. I've never left my family for 14 days, not ever in the history of being a wife. And this is bringing up a lot of conversations of like, I'm not going to clean the whole house. I'm not going to prep all of the meals. No. You guys, I've been doing this for years. I think you can figure it out and nobody will die. Like, there's a Walmart down the street.
Yeah.
Right. And that's bringing up those feelings. But also, 4 days after I get back, I'm turning around going to New York. Unapologetically. Why? Because mom's living.
Mom's living.
And, you know, my family could be like, but what are we supposed to do? And I'm like, you have friends. Go be with your friends. Plan to go see grandma. I don't know what you do.
And
what?
There's another parent. There's other parents in this world.
There's other parents. There are friends. There are things.
Yeah.
And how exciting for our kids to be able to look forward to being a grown-up. My oldest, or my son is graduating this year, and he keeps saying how sad he is to not be in high school anymore. And I was like, oh, you just wait. Like, life is about to get so good and so magical. And I don't think that I would have said that 5 years ago. I think I would have been sad right along with him.
Right.
Like, the best parts of life are about to end, you know?
Right.
I'm like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you no, it's true.
Dreams and travel and do all these things and write books and make music and
write
TV shows and be on podcasts and you can do whatever the hell you want.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So forget, because we're not doing it.
Yeah. I think that I just wanted to add in there that, you know, anyone listening, and that we do a light a fire under their ass, and they're like, yeah, you know, shit, I should take that girls trip, or I should do that, or I should invest, you know, in continuing to do that. But there will be backlash, especially if you have been the mom you have been to your children their entire life, or you've played that role in your marriage, and now you're like changing things up. It will get rocky. It will get bumpy. Like, my kids, you know, they only, honestly, they know me as a certain way. And over these last like 5 years, I've been changing it up, and I still get backlash if like I'm going away, even if it's a weekend and I don't have my kids. It's like a weekend, they're supposed to be their dad. Everyone's got something to say about mom going away. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? Sit here and just shrivel up and die? I am going to live my life, and I'm going to show you guys how to do that. You know, like, so.
In the beginning, it feels very selfish.
Yes.
In fact, you're like bringing up like wounds, and I'm like, oh shit. Yeah. You know, in the beginning, I don't think I did it very well. You know, I remember my little girl being pretty sick one time, and I was so hell bent on being an entrepreneur. She was little, she's probably like two, and she was puking. And I was like, I gotta go be my businessy me. And I had her nanny come over. And that was the time I looked back and I was like, I didn't get that one right. I didn't get that day
right. And we won't get it right.
And you won't get it right. But I think the overall message here is that it's important that you exist as an individual, big and lively, to be able to show your kids how to actually live.
Yes.
It's so important. And, you know, now what's interesting is my son, so many lessons from him, but there was this moment where we were talking about like Mormonism and the church and how to be happy. And, you know, no matter your religious beliefs, I think this is a really important message to show, like, how you live is louder than what you're teaching. Because he sat with me, he's like, Mom, help me understand this. He said, I have a belief system inside. He's still at this conversation, is still very Mormon. He's like, I am following all of the rules. I am technically keeping all of the commandments that I believe in. And you're breaking all of them. He's like, you're breaking all of them? Technically, you should be miserable. You should not be this happy, according to my belief system. And look at you. He's like, look at you. You're the happiest human I know. You just go with the flow. All these magical things happen for you. All this magic happens, all this success, people, friends, like your life is so big. And he goes, I go to bed every night having kept the commandments, and I feel like I haven't done enough, and that I am not good enough, and that I should try harder.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah. And he's like, so why? Why is it like that? And all I said was, you're asking the right questions. Keep asking that. I didn't have to teach him anything.
No.
I was like, just sit in that. Be curious about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I wasn't going to sit there and be like, because what you believe isn't true. Like, I didn't need to say that.
Because
that
bullshit.
Right? I could have just been like,
yeah,
isn't that interesting?
Oh, that word interesting is like the best parenting word ever.
So good.
We
so want to just like give them the answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let the kids like just sit there. I'm like, isn't that interesting?
Isn't that interesting? Interesting.
Curious.
And I loved how you said,
I don't like that.
You're asking the right questions.
You're asking the right questions. Yep. Keep asking that question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he did. He did keep asking that question. And a couple months later, I have to tell you, something shifted. And he said, we were talking about Mormon boys usually go on missions when they're 18. And I was like, I'm going to hate that you're going to be gone on a mission. He's like, I don't think I'm going. And I was like, what? What? I was so excited about the situation. Tell me more. And he was like, Mom, I didn't really tell you this, but I started trying to live like you do, where you go with the flow and you don't judge what's happening and you appreciate everything that's coming to you and you allow life to just unfold. And he's like, Mom, my life has become so magical. Like, he got the girlfriend that he always wanted to get. He booked all these beautiful gigs. He started two different bands. Like, he's just larger than life. He goes, Mom, me loving life the way you have fallen in love with life has given me more than me praying or asking forgiveness for all the bad things I've done. Oh. He said, so I tested it out and the way you live makes me way happier. And now we talk about living magical lives. And now we talk about the magic of life and how to feel feelings and how to trust things and how to move things out of our way and how to manifest things into us. And I didn't tell him how to do it. I didn't like give him a book. I didn't like, no. We're going to go to church. We're going to learn these lessons. I just lived. I just lived the way that was working for me. Mm-hmm. And he got to pull whatever pieces out of that for himself.
Yep. Look at your dad. Look at your mom. Look at your teachers. Look at your coaches. Look at religion. Pull what works for you. Gather all the data.
Like, that guy over there, that's not right. And this person, you don't have to say any of that. Doing my thing. If more people lived into themselves and found themselves, we would teach our kids how to find themselves.
Oh my God. Just imagine like what an incredible like 30-year-old man he's going to be. Like,
I don't think real life has hit him yet, but I mean, we're going to just keep going with this.
I just always think about that though. Like, if I would have known the lessons that I'm teaching my daughters now, like, holy shit, would my life have taken a different path? And I just keep pouring into them. I'm like, all the things that I wish I would have known, I'm going to show you this. And all the mess ups and wins and everything, I'm going to show you this.
Yeah. I mean, I never used the word magical until like 3 years ago. I didn't even know what that meant. If someone was like, I live a magical life, I would have been like, oh, you must be famous and rich. Like, that's right. That's all I would have thought.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was this, like, be able to go with the flow and have people come in and out and opportunities come in and out. And I didn't know. And go to bed whole and wake up whole. I didn't know that. And more people in general need to know that so that we can show our kids what that looks like.
Yeah. Because that makes parenting a whole lot easier. You know, there'll always be ups and downs, but man, the road just gets smoother. You know, it just gets a lot smoother.
Most of us are parenting to like overcome our own trauma because we're not
ma'am.
Our trauma and we're like parenting in a way to like you fix things that weren't fixed before. Instead, we need to be like whole people so that we can raise whole people.
Raise whole people. Yeah. Oh my God, Marcella, this isn't
there's so much more to talk about.
There's so much more. And I know there's people listening going like, I've never used the word magical before. So I hope you start. I hope people start and start using
just,
the word
actually,
magic.
I just did a really cool podcast on the Wake Her Up podcast with an author, Elizabeth Webb, who wrote a book called Made for Magic. I need to send you her book. Oh. But she wrote a book about how to create a magical life.
Okay.
And in depth about what that even means and how to get there. So you're like, what does that mean? Then that launches this week. So,
oh, sweet. Okay. We'll put the link to your like podcast as always.
Good together. So
yeah. Oh yeah. Jump on over. Thank you for coming on again today.
Thank you. What do you think people got out of this?
So much.
Oh my God.
I know when you get to, people don't realize this, like when you get to the end of the podcast, you're like, what the fuck did we start talking about?
Did we even talk about what we were supposed to talk about?
We did. And it's just a real conversation around parenthood and discovering yourself and your own magic. Like, yeah, this was incredible.
I want to say there are a few things that are very tangible that I think helped me find like a wholeness. There's a book called The Power of Now.
Okay.
There is a book, Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning.
Okay.
The other one is The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer. And there's another podcast that a woman named Tara Brock, she's kind of like my daily scripture.
Okay.
She kind of helps me drop into my body, stay whole, don't get too far out in my head. So those are some four things that I think some of your listeners could like start with where they're like, I don't even know.
Oh, I love that.
how to get to center, you know, of myself. Those would be a few things I'd say. Start with that.
Oh, perfect. No, that's absolutely perfect, because people do grasp like, okay, where can I start? What can I do? You know, and
had I listened to this podcast 5 years ago, I'd be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah. And just sitting down and talking with your kids are like, hey, no matter what their age, what was the greatest part of your day? What was the most magical part of your day? And they're like, nothing. So be prepared to be like, nothing happened. Okay. You know, and then tell them about yours.
That is the kicker. You have to start telling them what magic looks like, or what dealing with hard things look like. I remember not losing my friend from death, but losing a friend out of frustration, and being able to talk to my kids about like, so you're not going to see this friend anymore. Yeah. Some hard things happen. Mom is feeling feelings.
Yep.
I'm going to look sad for a few days because I lost a friend. But now, because they watched me lose a friend, they know that when they lose friends, mom knows how to deal with that, because I shared it with them. And so you have to, instead of expecting your kids to just automatically know how to share about their day, you have to start sharing with them so that they do know how to share about their day.
Yep. And then it gets you talking and getting out of your mouth of like, oh, this was, I don't care if your most magical part of your day was like, oh, I went to the gym, I crushed it, or I actually survived. I didn't die.
I drank all my water today.
It was so magical. Yeah. Talk to them and like express things to them. And, you know, you can't have great conversations with your kids and a great relationship if it doesn't start somewhere, you know, and you can't have.
You know what happens when you do that, Melissa, when people start expressing even to their kids or to anybody, like what piece is magical? You start existing to yourself.
Yes.
Like we feel so unseen because we don't see ourselves.
Yeah.
So start expressing your day to your kids the way you would hope they would express it to you.
Right.
You know, like, oh, even if it's like you said, even if it's like, I didn't want to clean the house, but I did it anyway. This is how I got myself to do it. I turn on a timer. I turn on my favorite music. Mm-hmm. I put my hair up a ponytail and I got it done.
Yep.
Right? Like that's how I got myself to do things I didn't want to do. And it felt good.
Yep. Be the example. Be the example.
Which now I have to go do that because I'm leaving in 48 hours. And I have to do a whole bunch of shit that I don't want to
do. You do. Yes, you do. Well, thank you for taking time to come on again. I can't wait to hear about your trip. Please share your location with me.
She's constantly like showing.
She's just going to check and see where she's at, and it's okay.
Okay. I'll turn on my location just for you.
Thank you. Oh, thanks again for coming on. I can't wait to have more conversations with you about magic and parenting and motherhood and all of the things. So thank you for being a friend.
We did a podcast just about Mexico retreat one time.
We didn't, did we?
No, we never did.
We really should. You did a reel not that long ago. And you
mentioning it. People, I'm like, we keep like sprinkling it in.
I know.
Dive all in. You talked to like the girls on and we could all talk about it.
That's a good idea. You talked about that Temescal ceremony. You did a reel on it and you broke it down. Yeah. And I was like, it's so true. I was there. That is what happened. I wanted to like jump in.
Next podcast episode with Marcel will be on magical Mexico.
Yes, we should. That's a really, really good idea. I love it.
It ended up being like a whole series part of your.
I know. It's fine. They love it. They love it. And I love it too. All right, friend. Go pack for your trip. And everyone have a magical day. Everyone stay safe, stay healthy. Until next time.
The Bomb Life podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. The content shared here is not intended as medical, legal, or professional advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before making any health, fitness, financial, or legal decisions. The opinions shared on this podcast are personal experiences and insight. So if you need expert guidance, go find the right professional for you. Thanks for listening.